You're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Sid
on 98.1 The Max.
The first of the three is this. My son Cameron is traveling with Bruno Mars as we speak, and they're nearing the end of Bruno's 2017 European tour. Cameron texted me several photographs yesterday. They're pictures of an arena in Frankfurt, Germany, where their concert took place. It's called Festhalle. Let me read Cameron's exact words. Dad, this is the venue we just played in Frankfurt. It was the first place they gathered all the Jewish people together and took them to concentration camps. Hitler spoke, and then they took them. It was very eerie, and they have no air condition. The second event that led to my commentary today is that NBA superstar LeBron James's home in L.A. was the scene of an evil act of vandalism this week. Somebody spray-painted graffiti on his front gate. They painted the letters N-I-G-G-E-R. Listen to what James had to say about it. No matter how much money you have, no matter how famous you are, no matter how many people admire you, being black in America is tough. The third seemingly unrelated event that produced today's commentary is this. The other day, I told Sheila I needed to laugh. So we went to see the movie Boss Baby. Without giving away the plot, let me say that music played an important role in the story. Every time one of the characters would become fretful about the future, his parents would sing the Beatles song Blackbird to him to calm him down. Listen to these lyrics. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. There are a lot of broken wings out here these days, y'all. I just hope enough of us wake up in time to have the serious discussions we need to have in order to ameliorate what appears to be a growing level of hatred, an ever-darkening dead of night. I'm Kenneth Whalum Jr., and this has been Keeping It Real with the Right Rev. Follow me on Twitter at kwhalum or at whalum.com, and let's talk about this some more. And remember, if you can't beat them, whalum. Yeah, it is as if creation had a certain amount of time, and it's like the rubber band is unwinding all the time. But it shouldn't be surprising to anybody, especially to people of faith. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah.
Faith in whatever you have faith in.
Yeah. And the faith part, you know, there's what's the quote about the opiate of the masses is what some people call religion. But faith comes in different forms, and different folks have different kinds of faith. But even people of faith who hold this belief that it'll all be okay and there's something a lot better than this, hopefully somewhere, are having that faith challenged.
Yeah, and that's the nature of it. I mean, my son Kenneth has a video out, a song that got a lot of play when he put it out, that says it might not be okay. Things might not be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I meant. People of faith embrace that reality. They're not pie in the sky. They're not under any kind of delusion that it's going to be okay. But faith causes you to move forward in spite of that fear of the unknown. I have an acronym.
That's a strong faith.
Absolutely. I have an acronym for faith, probably not original to me, but anyway, I'll claim it. F-A-I-T-H, forward action in trusting him. For me, him is obviously who him is. But faith is something that causes you to step forward when you don't know what's going to happen ahead of you. And look, there's a great visual for that. The X-Men movie, the first X-Men movie, where Professor X, he's coming out of this clear prison cell, and he moves forward, but there's nothing underneath. But every step he takes, every inch he goes, something appears up underneath him so that he wouldn't be able to move forward had he not moved forward, in spite of the fact that there was nothing under him. That's what faith does. It causes you to move forward in spite of your fear. And that's what I meant by this commentary, man. So many dark things happening that if you don't have faith in something bigger than you, you just stop and give up and die, as you're indicating a lot of people are doing.
And as you just say that, I will refer back to a movie and a quote that I mentioned a few weeks back, the film Jackie, about Mrs. Kennedy.
Yeah, right, yeah, we saw it.
Right in the wake of Jack's death, and John Hurt plays a priest that is her a support system. And God, he is so good. He yep. passed away last year. On the day that she, they had two young children die. And on the day that she was taking those coffins to have them laid by their father, she is at her very, very lowest. And John Hurt says to her, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, at some point in life, every human being realizes that there are no answers. And at that point, you either kill yourself or you make the decision to get up every day and put one foot in front of the other and keep going and hope, have faith that God has something for you beyond this to make it all worthwhile.
Absolutely.
Whatever the God may be to you, everybody has their own different tune, but he's exactly right. At some point you just go, why am I even here? Why am I bothering with this?
Absolutely.
And it's easy to eat a gun or to hang yourself. It's a lot harder to keep slogging through to see what happens at the end of it. Do you end up in a box, or do you go play with your papa and your old dogs?
Well, in the words of Jack Nicholson, what if this is as good as it gets?
What if this is as good as it gets?
So you make the best of this.
And he says that in a shrink's office of all places. Indeed. which further endorses the
absolutely
brilliance of it all. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Good to see you, and thanks for the inspiration. And I guess we got to keep the faith, right?
Peace.
We'll be back.
Love.
In just
and
a
hair
moment.
Grease.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.
Good to see you. You just spent 8 months in Hilton Head helping them recover from that devastation, right?
Right. The crews actually got back Saturday night around 8 or 9 o'clock after about an 18-hour convoy coming back. And so Sunday morning was like, get up, fellas. No rest.
So you
of
had
the
guys out there for over half a year.
8 month deployment, I guess you would say.
And then they get done with that disaster. And then Sunday morning, I bet they were really happy.
Yeah. Well, we try to incentivize a bit.
Yeah. Double time.
Right.
So now there are several issues here to discuss. One of these is being proactive about this, which came up earlier this week. Because I see, you know, dead trees all the time in, you know, yards. Those are the first to go because they hollow out and they tend to just be picked up and snapped in two. But this city was really hit hard this time. What is the biggest cause of, well, this is a hard question. These trees that are, you know, old and huge, the roots, they come out of the ground.
Yeah, I mean.
So what is the easiest and the most specific kind of tree that just pulls up and runs yards and houses?
It's the oak trees more than anything because they just grow so big here. And you can, if you're going to do a forensic analysis of each tree failure, you're going to see two things that happen basically. And for one, if you have an unbalanced crown distribution, and you see a lot of this because utility lines, these trees in Midtown, utility lines are in backyards, it's small spots, so they have to literally side trim these trees back. And if you got all the weight on one side and then you get a big gust of wind coming across that, it'd just be like, you know, standing on 1 foot with a 5 gallon bucket of water on one side,
yeah,
on a trampoline or something.
So that's why on some streets, one side gets destroyed, other side's fine.
Right. In this particular event, that's exactly right. This event was a little abnormal because this pattern came from north directly south. We typically see things moving more the opposite direction.
Right.
And so you had these trees that were really not exercised or acclimated to something like that, and it was just a disaster for them. And then if you have no root plate on one side because of driveways or streets or next to a swimming pool, that's what you see because they can't hold onto the ground, and boom, off they go.
So does Midtown always get the worst of it.
Yes. All things being equal, by far, anywhere that you've got older houses, but you're starting to see now the canopy age is shifting. It's creeping more out east because, I mean, just I've been in the business now 15 years, and I mean, it's just Stonewall, for instance, that street. There were massive trees all along that street. You just don't see that many anymore because they've just succumbed. They've either failed, died, or people have just said, uh-uh. Because it doesn't end up good if they come down. And you're waiting on a crisis the longer you have these monster trees in there because everything is finite.
There are people that I see in the spring every year who are proactive and who do get their stuff, you know, cut back and trimmed back. And then I guess perhaps in times like these will save a tree. But if you ignore this because it costs too much, you think, and blah, 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 it leads to what you're seeing now, which is trees just laying down in mass everywhere.
And some people just inherit issues right off the bat, or some people just aren't cognizant of even thinking about it. But people who have been, I don't want to say burned necessarily, but have had bad experience with trees or know somebody that has, they'll know that forever. They'll remember that pain. So, but there are a lot of people that really aren't aware and don't even think to look up. They don't have the curse that I have where I'm constantly probing and looking at everything as I drive by. But
yeah,
there's a number of trees where I'm just like, man, like, leave now.
Well, we had those straight line winds. This wasn't even one of the big storms. Those straight line winds that hit down in South Haven 6, 7, 8 years ago. And we had three of those giant oaks just lay down. And it's a kind of a paralyzing thing to walk into your backyard and see that. And you go, what just happened here? And you can't do a thing about it except take the precautions to avoid that. But even then, though,
they just get to a certain point.
They're going to go.
They're just too big for their britches.
Well, so what? So are you guys going to be up to your eyeballs now for months and months?
Well, obviously the direct response and the triage that we're in, this is the ripple effects of these issues now really dealing with trees on houses, will probably go on for the next few weeks. And then the non-emergency things will go on for probably a few months. And then everybody's going to be really worried about things. So there's probably going to be an indirect spike in business probably the rest of the year. And I do think I walked some properties where there was a real tricky removal with some of my friends over at MLGW. And it was just head shaking to realize that this is a constant, constant issue. And it's always in the same areas because you've got these massive aging trees and it's such a huge liability. You just know what's coming. And what the right answer is nobody really knows.
So the tree density in Midtown and out east, there are just so many trees there. And in South Haven, that at some point, something's got to give.
If a tree's 80 or over, especially in a very limited root zone, it is time to really, really take a hard look at it.
And people fear the cost and all that stuff, but you got to weigh, you know, one against the other.
Absolutely.
Because at some point, it'll be a cost regardless. So at this point, are you guys just booked up beyond belief?
Well, depending on what the weather does, we've got another crane we brought in. So right now we're running actually 5 crane crews. So if it's not raining, we're going to be working until we take care of what we need to take care of. So
and without being disparaging to anybody else, is in this same business, and many of them are pros like you guys, but you got to be aware of some of these guys trying to make a quick buck. If somebody comes into your backyard and isn't licensed and or bonded or something, and they cut their arm off, that's on you.
100%. Without question. It will be your insurance if you have insurance. Your homeowners would cover that. But, you know, it's just if somebody doesn't have insurance to do this type of work, they just shouldn't be doing it, period. You shouldn't take that risk, and you shouldn't put somebody in that risk either. There's too much stored pinned energy when you have these branches that are laying on a roof, and people can get hurt, can get killed so fast, so quick. It's just never worth it. And a tree only falls once, right? So
yeah,
don't make it another disaster by getting in too big of a hurry and really causing, you know, a life-changing problem.
So the city does call you guys in to say, what do you think we should do with this one?
Well, we were looking at something because it was a customer had called us. There was a massive tree that was leaning from a neighbor's property, smashed up against some power lines into her tree, which was precariously leaning over her house. And it was, you had to do A, B, C, and D before you could even try to do B or A. So, it got to the point to where it made the most sense for MLGW to bring their crews in, cut the power lines, because you never know, even if that service is dead, you could have a generator backfeed from three doors down and energize that line. Oof. And boom.
Goodness gracious. Well, so the best advice now is to be patient, I suppose.
If somebody's knocking on your door,
yeah,
that's this big time signal that something's not quite right, because people that are reputable, they're getting plenty of calls and they shouldn't be knocking on doors looking for business. So somebody's just knocking on your door offering the deal of a lifetime, there's probably something shady going on.
That was a tree joke. That was very good.
I didn't even think about that. Look at me.
Yeah, I know. 309-6779. These guys are pros. They are arborists. This is not a game that they play. This is a serious deal. And once again, don't put yourself in a bad spot by letting some dude say, yes, I got this for you. No, they don't. Call the pros at a Woodland Tree and get them to add you onto the list of things to get done. Thank you. Good luck. Happy you got some rest there for about one day. Taryn Arwood, Woodland Tree, thank you, sir. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.